So actually, I want to finish out in a few minutes and talk about the management of HER2 amplified or amplified metastatic disease. But actually, I just saw this case in your deck, Axel, that I wanted to ask you about. We were talking about Rego-Nivo sounding a little bit on the downside, but this sounds pretty interesting. What happened with this patient?
That's an interesting patient. Actually came to me from Florida for a second opinion here to Germantown, Tennessee. And this patient, very unique situation, and she's very engaged in her care, has probably had biopsies and has molecular profiles repeatedly over the course of her history. So apparently pretty good prognosis group of tumor because she was initially diagnosed in 2014 and is still actually alive and in excellent performance status. She has a background of Crohn's disease and was diagnosed with an adenocarcinoma in this sigmoid jejunal pouch area. Had synchronous liver metastasis, underwent neoadjuvant FOLFOX, and then had a right hepatectomy, classified the tumor as a KRAS G12D mutation, MSS. The tumor mutation burden of 15, which gets into the area of being more interesting along the discussion, what we talked about. Then developed actually more pulmonary lesion. This became that her dominating side of disease about a little bit more than a year later. And then was treated with FOLFIRI bevacizumab, had a response, a treatment break, because she was exhausted from therapy. Then had when she had progression of disease again to FOLFOX bevacizumab, again worked for some time, progression of disease. TAS-102 didn't do a lot. She had progression of disease right up front, went back to FOLFIRI. So re-exposure to a treatment that she had not progressed on, stable disease, then progression. Then she received pembrolizumab off-label, which we now would actually now be on label with a TMB of 15, which was a foundation assay. Had a mixed response, but rising CA. So I think overall the trend went actually in the wrong direction. And then had clear progression of disease in December, January, just about half a year ago, and then started regorafenib nivolumab. And the interesting thing is I saw the scans, I looked at it, and that's why she came to get my opinion about that. She had a rapid and notable response in the lung metastasis. Again, cavitation, CA went down, et cetera. And when I saw her in June, this response was still sustained. Excellent tolerability, 80 milligrams of regorafenib and a standard dose of 240 milligrams of nivolumab. So the interesting thing was here that she had progression of disease in pembrolizumab and then continued PD-1 inhibition now with nivolumab in addition of regorafenib, a notable response. Longer than I would have expected and stronger than I would have expected with regorafenib, a single agent. Let me add one more point to that. The Japanese study that we looked at before, the phase 1b study that created a lot of interest, Rego-Nivo, a lot of these patients are rectal cancer patients with lung metastasis. And I think this is something we have to recognize that the Rego-Nivo combination, the immune augmentation approaches, might work in different locations for different metastases in different ways. We know that the immune environment in lung tissue is different than in liver tissue or peritoneal disease. And I would really like to get Mike's opinion about that, whether there's something that he finds is one of those valid approaches, that location of disease might actually predict whether immune system can respond to tumors or not.
Before Mike answers, I'm just kind of curious, why was the patient seeing you, Axel, whether to continue therapy or just out of curiosity or what?
I think it was just curiosity also to showcase herself. I mean, people, there's a whole community of patients, on Twitter and in Colon Town, on Facebook and whatever. So they do interact and they say, hey, there's this guy who's worked with regorafenib and it might have an opinion, what should we do, whatever. And that's why she came. Yeah.
Really
Not
interesting.
everyone has
I
to
was
go to MD
actually.
Anderson for a second opinion. That's
Well,
pretty.
we can get that second opinion right now, but it is interesting that this patient had cavitation, just like your other patient that you presented with just got regorafenib, right? Mike, any
Right.
thoughts about this case and what's going on here?
Yeah, I mean, I think, as Axel stated, the regorafenib and nivolumab data when it first came out was really exciting. And I do want to say that I think there are still patients that respond to it. I think, anecdotally, I've seen it. We just kind of saw a case here. And so I do think there is something to that combination. I just think we have to be very cautious that likely it looks like with the small kind of subsequent validation data sets that benefit rate is much lower than what was initially portrayed. And so what Axel is getting at is the critical question, why are we seeing that kind of discrepancy, right? So clearly there still appears to be some level of activity. we need some larger data sets to really understand that and how to kind of put that into perspective. But there does seem to be a difference between the Japanese data set and kind of the replication kind of smaller data sets. And so why is that their difference? You know, is it kind of a population related difference, you know, a Japanese patient cohort versus here in regards to different HLAs? You know, there's a lot of uncertainty. I do think the idea of different metastatic locations is a really interesting one. I would have to say I don't at present know, you know, in regards to that. I think we'd have to kind of get some more data to kind of see what's necessarily driving that. But there does appear to be a clear question in regards to kind of, can we hopefully identify which subgroup potentially is the one that would get us back to that level of the original kind of regorafenib nivolumab activity level, and really then be selecting that population for this therapy, and whether that's different, you know, disease biology, pace of biology, or metastatic locations. I think the hope is with time, as we see more patients receiving this type of combination, we'll get a better sense of that, is my hope. And we're having that. There's many ongoing studies with more enrollment to really kind of better delineate kind of what we see in regards to the use of regorafenib and nivolumab across many more patients.